Welcome to The Future is Female Powerlifting, a show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in. Aloha, aloha, my beautiful friends, and welcome, welcome back. We are on episode 62, and I am back with an amazing interview with my friend who I have been so lucky to meet through this podcast, Miss Larnie, and I'm going to say it correctly, Larnie Mulvey, who is the CEO of Strong and Mighty and also the author of the book Standing in Strength, which I was a contributor to. And for those of you who don't know what that means, because I was not using the author lingo before, I just said I wrote a chapter in the book. But a contributor is somebody who collaborates in the book, and I wrote a chapter in the book, Standing in Strength, and that book is now out on Amazon. We really go into what the book is about, Larnie, and how she grew up as a young Filipino-American, as an immigrant first, and then became an American, and her story of how she was able to find her own path and how long it took for her to find that. And it's an amazing story. Larnie has a super awesome energy about her. She's relelessly positive, and it just reminds me again why I love this podcast, because I get to connect with women like you, who I hope I'm deep in your ears right now and you are listening. And speaking of which, I want to thank you for leaving a review, telling people about the show, taking screenshots and posting it on your IG and allowing me to share that, because that is how this show grows. And I will continue to offer wonderful interviews from people who are going to affect you and are going to give you a little bit of their story. And hopefully it's something you enjoy. And I want to thank Miss Jen Bingo, who I speak with on Instagram. This is somebody we've met through the podcast, and she and I occasionally talk back and forth on Instagram, and she left a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you have a minute today, I would love for you to leave a review and let me know how you like the show. And she said, "Forever newbie, been listening to a newbie powerlifter and love all the people I've had a chance to quote unquote get to know through Heidi's interviews. Keep them coming." And I will, Jen, keep them coming. This podcast is brought to you by my gym, Core Strength and Performance in Huntsville, Alabama, where we live through strength. And if you are interested in training, if you are sitting there and thinking like, you know what, Heidi, I do want to powerlift. I've been thinking about it. Or maybe you're a couple years deep and you need a little bit more guidance. You know, it's funny. I didn't have my first coach until almost 5 years into powerlifting. And I didn't have my first bodybuilding coach till like 3 or 4 years in. So I went solo a long time. And I'll tell you right now, once I went coach, made a huge difference, because I didn't really have to think about what I had to do. There was a lot of conversation going on with my coach, and that's what I want to offer to you all. So if you are interested and want to know more about our online strength or nutrition coaching, which me and my husband offer, we are the dynamic duo coming at you, trying to be help you be accountable and guide you to the platform, visit core256.com. You can also connect with us on Instagram. The Instagram page, or Instagram, I don't know why it's so hard for me. Instagram is The Future is Female Powerlifting. And you got to actually take the out. It's just Future is Female Powerlifting. I have a lengthy name. What can I say? And Core SNP, which is our Instagram gym page. And you can connect with us there. And if you want to hear more about what we offer, or core256.com. And let's get talking about that. Like I said, we have a great interview with Larnie today. And again, if you want to get the book that I wrote, My Deepest, Darkest Secrets, and not really My Deepest, Darkest Secrets, because I've actually talked about it on this podcast before, but I have not gone so deep. This book, really, I took a lot of time to share my personal story, and it would mean a lot to me if you all want to read those stories of the people in this book, because we've all struggled slightly. And Courtney Olson is in the book. If you guys haven't heard, she wrote the foreword, and Courtney is the CEO of GRRL, the brand. The Dandata, they are the legit. Love Courtney and what she's doing. I just actually got her book, which I am excited to dive into. So today, let's get it going with Larnie. Today, I am pretty damn excited to have you on here. And I know, isn't this crazy? This is like full circle. And I feel like we need to kind of tell the story of how you and I came to be where we are today, which is so crazy.
Yeah.
Serendipitous. Again, I love using that word. It's my word today. Serendipitous, because I don't think that, like we had talked about before, if we had never put ourselves out there, we would have never met. We would have never ventured on this project together with all the other women. And I love that that all stemmed from us taking on our fears and our shame and our things that we kind of piled up for years and kind of said, all right, I'm going to try this. And then continue to say yes at these things, right?
But after honestly, like the universe, like kicked my ass.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you want to talk about this, but like last year, so I lost my job.
Yes. Let's talk about this because this is sort of what kicked it off for you, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so like, it's just the whole, I lost my job. I had a job lined up. COVID came in. They're like, hey, sorry, we don't have that contract for you. Okay, cool. I could do like two more months of like summer vacation, whatever. Had another job end of June lined up, ready to go. COVID is still around. And it's like almost like that is like crawling up into the height of COVID.
Yeah.
And then they call me on Friday when I was supposed to start on Monday. And they're like, Larnie, sorry. I know you're wondering about this, but we were waiting and we don't have a contract for you.
Wow.
So two jobs lined up. And then after that second one, I was like, okay, universe. Okay, God, is this your push? Is this your way of saying you need to do something else? Mm. You're not fulfilling your purpose with people. And like, I had to really like look into what was driving me a little bit before I got let go. Mm-hmm. And it was women's leadership. It was like building women up, because the company I was working with, they were like, we'll put you in the back burner. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, and then after those two no's, that's where I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure out how to start a company that helps women. And it's funny because, Jessica Fithen, her Instagram, just, I don't know how it fell on my feed, cause I had just started using Instagram and it like fell on my feed, and I'm like, whatever, she would come on and I'm just like, that pissed me off, like some of the things that were being said.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, women, we have to unite here. And then that's kind of, you know, all this stuff. It was all like signs, like listening to your podcast, listening to the people on the podcast, like and following them. And then I just started like having all these stronger women on my feed, because I was feeding my mind to like be strong. And then I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to powerlift too.
So up Let's until this point, were you even lifting or anything? Like, I know you had not in really. The past, like when you were with your, we'll talk about that a little bit. You were just like, I'm going to try this.
Yeah. Because like, I've always wanted to compete, and I wanted to compete in like physique or bodybuilding or something like that. And then the guy I was like, who was my boyfriend at the time, he was like in that roundabout way telling me that I was lifting more than him and I should stop. He's like, you know, you're lifting more than me. And I was like, okay. And you know, me being the people pleaser back then, like 100%, I was like, okay, you know, but I grew up whenever, like almost like when somebody tells you something, you take it to heart and then you like, you know, make yourself what they want you to be.
Yeah.
And that's how I lived most of my life that way. And when I was like, no. And I dabbled in like, I did jujitsu, I did boxing, I did running. I thought I was a runner for about a year of my life. Oh.
I think everybody does that. Like, I think I can run. Everybody else runs.
Oh, that was the worst. That's my, what the fuck was I thinking for? I'm going to run. And I could never get my 5K down past 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was always the last person. And I knew that I was a really terrible runner here in Chicago, we have all these races in on the lakefront. Mm-hmm. And there was this one guy that always would be there with, I mean, I didn't know him, but he was like always there at like the same race that I was. And he had an eye patch.
Okay, and so you recognize him instantly.
Because I know it was him.
Yeah.
And he started off walking, dude, walk. And I'm like thinking I'm running faster than him. And I turn around, he's just like right over my shoulder. And I'm thinking I'm running. And then he was getting faster in his walking where he beat me.
The guy with the eye patch
beat me. And I was like, nothing wrong with the eye patch. But I was like, dang it. I thought we were on the same pace.
Hey, listen, some of those speed walkers, they're no joke. They are out of there and they are no joke. So, but more power to them, I guess. But I can never walk that fast where it's almost like running.
Yes. It got to the point where I go to a race and the moms with the double wide strollers would go, excuse me, and go around
me. They're the worst ones because they're so like, they're like driven. Like they run every day with this stroller. And there's like a too big kid in there who's like five and shouldn't be in a stroller. And then there's a young one in there and
And that's what I just was like, what am I doing to my body? And I would always, my feet would hurt at the end. And I just,
I think it's interesting because I think that many of us who maybe have that athletic mindset, like you're talking about, like, you know, we grow up wanting to compete as an adult or, you know, engage in some sort of competition and search for something that fits for us. And you, just like me, found powerlifting as something that we totally never would have thought of as something we would do in a competitive nature. And it seems like that resonates a lot with women right now because there's a low barrier to entry. You know, anybody can do it. They can just try these lifts on their own, you know, and it's something very empowering about it. And that's what I want to speak about a little bit today because and this is another thing. I didn't know you pronounce your name, La'Arnie. Am I saying that right? La'Arnie.
That's how it's normally pronounced. That's how like I grew up, you know, you're supposed to pronounce it, but eventually it just became La'Arnie. And I never changed it. And I never corrected anybody. It just, you know, it just kind of flowed into the American world of La'Arnie. And that really, I mean, that happened like high school. Like right after high school.
Yeah.
So for all those years, I fought for the two A's. And then, you know, I just like, it's La'Arnie now.
Yeah.
It just kind of moved into it.
I think there's a lot of that going with ethnic names, you know, that we take those ethnic names and try to make it easier for everybody else to pronounce.
Yeah.
You know, and I have kids who are Yumiko and Kaimana, you know, and I try very hard to tell people this Kaimana, you know, and we hear Kamana a lot, like they take the I out. And I think that just might be a Southern thing, to be honest. It's Kamana when I'm like, all right, they're trying, you know. But I thought it was very interesting because as I read your chapter, you know, we sort of assimilate in one way or another. And your name was sort of that pivotal point where you tried to keep your name and tell people what your name was and fight for not Ernie from Sesame Street, right? Because they would call you Ernie instead.
Yes.
But all these stories and these things that happen in your life are in the book, Standing in Strength, which La'Arnie is, I'm a contributor to this amazing book with her. And these stories are stories from six different women who talk about their struggles in their lives and tragic moments and pivotal points that have led them to be successful and do what they're doing today. And it's still struggle in certain areas, but they're still learning how to take one foot in front of the other, take risks and chances. And I wanted to speak a little bit about that because when you were talking about being left from your job and then, you know, as a Filipino woman, I know what you're saying about as an Asian woman. And I would say that I'm lucky because my father was not necessarily like that, you know, and culturally we were much more Americanized, I think, at that point. But not to say that I didn't see a lot of my friends who were Filipino, Chinese, Japanese, you know, and even outside of those cultural norms. There still is a lot of that translates to just being a woman, such as Be quiet. Don't be too loud. Yes. Don't be too bossy, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. I put those air quotes mm-hmm. in there. Don't be too commanding. Don't be too confident. You know, these things that we try to minimize ourselves. And maybe you could speak a little bit more about how that was for you growing up
yeah.
as a young Filipino American who, you know, was an immigrant.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And how did you sort of maneuver that and then kind of come into where you are today?
So a lot of my, I don't even know if it's a challenge. I think it was more like experiences through life. Coming from the Philippines to the U.S., I came here when I was 5 years old. And that's still part of a kid's life where you're absorbing everything yeah. and learning everything. So I come to the U.S. I come from the Philippines where I barely wore shoes. I hated wearing shoes. I hate wearing shoes now, but I do it because I have to. And the first thing, my grandparents came pick me up, and like we got to their house, and the first thing like my grandmother gave me was like a pair of shoes, and they were Velcro light blue mm-hmm. shoes. I still remember them clearly, and when I put them, I remember looking at them, going, "What the hell are these?" I was like, shh. So I put them on my feet, and you know how you put those little booties on dogs and they kind of walk around a little wonky and stuff? That's how I felt. And it was like that first time where I felt I was doing things that I didn't want to do because I had to do them. Mm. And growing up that way of really not really growing up in my Filipino culture as much because I was so young, but now taking what I knew from the Philippines and plopping it into the U.S., but I can't go outside the way I did in the Philippines. Yeah. I can't really, you know, it's a different world. I can't go outside without supervision. I can't really even go in the backyard without supervision. Yeah. It was very, very protective. And, you know, that's every family is protective over their young kids. And I knew from when I was young that I wanted to be an athlete, some kind of athlete. And that wasn't talked about in my family. Yeah. Athleticism wasn't really talked about in my family. The main thing was education. Make sure you become a doctor. Make sure you become a nurse. And a nurse, I'm like, like that stereotype yes. that Filipino women fall into, you know, being a nurse. And I didn't want to do that. And I rebelled a lot, and coming like not knowing what my identity was, it wasn't built up as clear as maybe certain people. It was like, you know, Filipinos, we're hard workers. We do what we need to do. And sometimes you have to find out on your own. It's like that sink or swim kind of moment. And I didn't grow up seeing, athletes, women, especially women athletes. I mean, I saw like the men athletes, but I didn't see really women athletes. I didn't see, any of that, anyone that I wanted to emulate. Right. And what I saw most was like, what did I see on TV that I didn't look like people on TV? Yeah. You know, like my family dynamic didn't look like the family dynamic on these TV shows. And I'm like, why can't I talk to my parents? Like, you know, I could just go up to them and be like, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be 16. Can I go on a date? Oh yeah, sure. Nope. My family. No.
You probably can't even say that.
No, I
it was just assumed you don't date.
Correct.
Until you're older.
Yeah. And then we all live together until we die. But yeah. It's like, I've always wanted to run around and be an athlete. And I remember in high school, this is all my identity crisis here. I mean, if I could show you pictures of what I looked like throughout my high school years, oh my gosh, you would see the transition of being like the nerdy, you know, young girl to the punk rock goth chick. To the DJ's girlfriend, and then the label baby who wore like the flipped up collars and loops. Yeah. But it was like that identity crisis. Like I wasn't taught to build my identity. It was almost like assumed that you're Filipino, you're going to be. Or it was like automatically almost assumed in my family. Mm. And one time I because that athlete inside me was just like burning. I like, oh, I want to be an athlete. So I decided to try out for the dance team without really telling my parents I was going to stay after school and try out for the dance team. I don't know how my dad found out, but my dad came and picked me out of that tryout.
Wow.
And he's like, you are not shaking your butt in front of everybody.
Oh, right. That's what you would think. Yeah.
That's what he told me. And then you become that almost like regretful, like, oh my God, I just disappointed my family, but I really wanted to do that. And yeah. it was such the turmoil yeah. of my identity and trying my identity. So I went through the anger. I went through the depression. I tried to kill myself twice in high school because I was so like lost and I didn't know where I was at. And I mean, I'm glad that my sister found me like cutting myself. And she's like, you better not do that. And I was like, oh God, okay. You know,
and I fear you. And says, we're going to kill you if you try to do that again.
And I love my sister to death. We're close. But when we were in that like teenage years, she was like, you better stop doing that. I'm like, okay. So that was like that. I was like, oh shoot, I got busted.
Right.
Or oh shoot, she's going to tell mom and dad.
Right.
You know? So I was just like, okay. All right, Marnie, get your act together. And that time, it's like still the identity crisis. Like, who am I? Who am I? What is it that I want to do? And athletics was really, you know, the underlying piece to that. So when I'm trying to find myself, fitness is always around, some kind of fitness, but double-edged sword of the magazines from back in the day, you know, are the really, you know, like slender and, you know, like no muscles and everything. And I really wanted to be strong then, I guess. It's always been in me to be somehow stronger. And the boyfriend that I met that time who like showed me the gym, like a bodybuilding gym, that's where I was like seeing the magazines of the stronger, more like I could see the muscles on the women.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I knew that I wanted to do that. Like, I knew I wanted to compete. I knew that. And when the people pleasing with that boyfriend telling me that I need to stop lifting, I was like, okay, fine. I'll kind of lock myself away again. And that identity crisis, well, something I want to do is this, but I can't because he won't like me. And, you know, it took a long time to wait for that and start rebuilding my, and so that's when I started dabbling in a whole bunch of different fitness things. And I thought I was going to be a step instructor. You know, when we used to do those step classes. Oh, yeah. I thought I was going to be a step instructor for a long time. And I just like, I did it and I was like, nah, I don't like this either.
You never know, but you don't strike me as a step instructor.
No, you know, like I tried. It was like, I wanted to try everything.
Right.
I wanted to try. I felt like there was such an opportunity for me to expand myself and explore and find what I really liked. But I really liked lifting.
Yeah.
Like I really liked lifting. I don't know what it was about. Back in the day, I really don't know what it was about. Like, not touching the 10-pound weights. Like I wanted to touch like 30, even if I couldn't lift them really, I wanted those weights.
Yeah.
And when I started figuring out how strong I was in general, in my mind, I still wanted to be the small girl.
We still don't want to make waves. Don't want to be too big. I mean, I think that's something that's very hard. I still struggle with that. You know, like as I've succeeded in this area, parts of me still want to be like, don't seem like you're showing off. You know, like don't be too proud sounding. You know, don't make a big fuss about things, you know, because inside I still do not want to be perceived as somebody who is egotistical or look at her trying to be all big or, you know, all these things that I don't think my parents ever told me anything like that. It's just something that I've, in my mind, have developed over the years, probably just from different experiences that I've felt throughout my life, right? That have led me to think doing this might lead to other people thinking that you're too good for them, or that, like, we jokingly say when we go to a party, people are always like, oh, I usually don't eat like this. Or the other day I had a guy come check out our crawl space and he says, oh, don't look at the way I lifted that door, as if I'm judging the way he lifts the door. You know, like I don't care what you eat, because if you noticed, I also have a hot dog on my plate and a piece of birthday cake with a little bit of ice cream, you know, like, so don't judge me. I'm not judging you, but I think it's sometimes those sort of experiences and in one way or another have led me to think like, all right, I also need to shrink myself, you know, don't push too much. Don't ask for too much, you know? And, I feel like that is something that I battle with a lot. And I think a lot of women do. And in powerlifting is a way that we can stretch ourselves and we can challenge ourselves and feel proud of the weights that we've lifted.
Yeah.
And so I love that, you know, you talk about how that transition came to you because you just decided to one day just enter a meet, right?
Yeah. I mean, for a long time I was teaching myself. I was subconsciously getting programmed to be smaller because the people in my environment told me that, you know, Larnie, you're not good enough. Yeah. You're not good enough to be a supervisor. You're not good enough to, you know, compete in a bodybuilding competition or anything like that. And that's because you like food too much. You know, it was like I didn't have the discipline for that. So I never pursued it. But when it came to powerlifting, right before, like almost like the year before I got let go from my job, I started powerlifting, and powerlifting gave me more confidence in myself. Yeah. It's because I was challenging my capabilities and my abilities.
Yeah.
You know, like I have my first coach, love her to death. And she's like, Larnie, that is too easy. Put more weight on. I was like, no, I can't, you know? And it was like, I was so talking myself out of it. She's like, you know what? We're going to just try it. Yeah. And then boom, I did it. You know, it was like that. I was questioning my ability instead of testing my capability.
Right.
Ugh. You know? Yep. And when my ability and my capability kind of meshed together, it was like, oh, okay. You're right. It wasn't that. Yeah. You're right.
I think I see that a lot, especially, you know, with people that I train, because I know what, you know, a real grind looks like or a struggle. And it might look a little different from person to person, but for the most part, you can tell when something looks like it's a freaking 8 or a 9, you know, like, okay, and you're supposed to be at an 8 and that looked like a 3. Yeah. I'm not even there yet. Not even close, you know? And I think a lot of people who don't know, or I have no idea. And then there are some people that I've trained that are like, I don't know, should I do more? And there's almost a fear in it a little bit, or, you know, like, I don't know, is that, you know, but what are you afraid of? You know, what is, what's the fear behind it? That's something to think about, because everybody's going to be a little different in what they're fearing. Right.
And then it's, you know, my coach now, he'll say, you know, the bar will tell you the truth. Either you can do it or you can't. There's no really like in between. Even if you pick it up like an inch or so, you can do it. It just didn't go all the way up.
Yeah.
You know? So I just think that when it comes to us talking ourselves out of what we can do, we struggle with that.
Yeah.
And we are so much stronger than we think we are.
Yes.
And we are so much more capable than we think we are.
And we're so much braver than we think we are.
And that's where I want to help, you know, that I want to help everybody come into where I'm at now. They don't have to be powerlifters, but it's like, I want them to know that they are talking themselves out of their greatness.
Yeah.
I was at the hair salon. This kind of brought up almost like the purpose of this book a little bit. I was at the hair salon. I had my foils in my hair, covering up my gray hairs, you know, and I was talking to my hairdresser about how women talk themselves out of applying for jobs, and they shouldn't, because they, you know, I read a study that if a job is open, a man would apply. Even if he knows he doesn't have the qualifications, he'll just apply.
Yeah.
But women will go, maybe I need 2 more years of training and then I'll apply.
Interesting.
Well, and then we talk ourselves out of it, but we're really like, we're just not letting ourselves just go
even
out there.
It. Yeah. You're not even putting yourself out there. Yeah.
And so this lady was in there and I, of course I was talking loud because the hair dryers were on, whatever. And she heard me and she's like, thank you for saying that. I really needed to hear that. Huh. And she's like, oh, I should pay you to come and talk to me every morning. I go, girl, salon sessions are free. And she, I mean, just, you know, like she was just like thanking me. And I feel like that was another sign from the universe to like write this book.
Yeah.
To get as many strong women together as possible to build a community for women who need to hear something like that.
Yeah.
And that I needed that when I was younger.
Yeah.
I didn't have that.
Yeah.
I didn't have that encouragement. I didn't have, I mean, I love my parents. I love my family. It just wasn't, it was like there was another side of me that I needed to build away from my family.
Yeah.
And this person now that I'm building is the person that I wanted to see when I was little.
Yeah.
You know, the strong, you could call me loud or whatever.
You're hardly loud. Listen. Okay. I know loud. You ain't loud.
I don't, I'm like,
you're normal.
I'm normal. You know, and I'm like, this is like, I want young girls, even other women, I want them to know that you can laugh out loud.
You can be loud if you are loud.
You can. Yes. And you can enjoy yourself. You can love yourself. Mm-hmm. And really it like comes down to who you are. And it took me a long time to understand who I was because I was living for years. I'm going to be 45 this year. It took me almost 20, 30 years to figure out that I need to live for myself mm-hmm. and respect my culture.
Yeah.
And that's really like that balance because the more I live for other people's standards, the more I try to be other people's standards and people please, the more miserable I was. And I don't want to end up again in that space, that negative space that I was 2 times in my life.
Yeah.
And I, like I say, this time of my life, I am living the happiest I am because I am living who I want to be.
Yeah.
And we were talking about like taking space and stuff and everyone like this year is like, oh, we're going to diet and get smaller. Like, and I love that. If you're being healthy, great. But here I am like, I want to see how big I can get. I want to see if I could fit in a door frame.
Yeah. You know?
Can I walk sideways through the door? And it's like, that's kind of where I feel about myself. You know, my husband's probably going to kill me, but I walk around here naked all the time, checking myself out. I go, look at my butt. Does it look good? Does it look bigger? You know, and it's because I'm embracing myself.
Yes.
And I love it. I'm loving myself. And even if my pictures come up with double chins or whatever like that, I go, that's just part of me.
Yeah, totally. And I've been feeling the same way where, you know, I always love makeup. So I always am dabbling with makeup. But then when I start to see that I'm using makeup in a way where to correct, I use that in air quotes, things that I feel are wrong with my skin, there's like a point where I kind of realize like, hey, I think I'm getting a little carried away with how I look at myself, you know, like my own image. And then I was like, I need to be fucking better okay with just the way that I look and have fun with makeup when I want to have fun. But I realized that there was a part of me that was sort of still saying like, oh, look at all those sunspots. You need to cover up that. And look at your dark circles under your eyes are getting bigger. And look at your cheeks are looking like your grandpa's with jowls. You know, like, and I always remember that my grandpa always had heavy, you know, Filipinos in some way, you know, heavy cheeks, right? And like,
we're staggers.
We're staggers. It's just what it is. But we also look very young, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, you know, Asian, no raisin, right. Okay? But I did find myself wanting to look, you know, like, oh, look like this look. And because I was allowing myself to take in all these images, you know, and that, and allowing it to skew how I felt about myself. So I am still working on, hey, it's okay to have fun with makeup, but don't allow that to be a filter for your life and how you perceive yourself, you know, and how you look at your beauty, because I am beautiful without makeup on, you know, and mm-hmm. I need to be tell myself that over and over instead of yeah. saying like, ugh, you need to put your face on. This is what my mom would always say. Don't forget to put your face on. That's what Latinas say, you know, like don't leave the house without any lipstick, blush, or, you know, like it was definitely something that you're brought up with. But yeah. it makes me laugh because there's a lot of similarities and things that I think that in the book we talk about where we struggle and where we've learned to triumph. And maybe you could talk a little bit more about how, you know, you got started with thinking you wanted to write a stinking book, because you went from like, lost my job. I am making this transition. I am starting this company. I am empowering women. I am, you know, like you just seem to have said yes to so many things in life that maybe you weren't saying yes to before. And yeah. So what made you think like, I think book is a good idea?
Well, this has been like 20 years in the making. So and my company is, I want to say like 20 years in the making as well. I've always wanted to own my own company. I just didn't know how, but, this past year, I just, with all the issues with like looking for a job and stuff like that, I wasn't fitting into what I wanted, you know, what I wanted to be in. And, I just took it as an opportunity to, you know what? I'm going to try it. What's the worst it can do? You know, and the book thing I've always wanted to do. And when I met Dawn Bates,
yeah,
she's like, you should write a book.
Of course. Cause she's an author. Yeah. She's like,
you should write a book.
You should write a book.
And, I was like, at first I was like, nah, you know, and I met another lady, her name's Crystal Richardson. And, she's amazing as well. And she's yeah. like, you're going to write a book. And I was like, no. And then I think what really triggered me to, you know what, I'm going to do this is because of one of your past guests, Jessica Fithen.
Yeah.
You know, she like was the, she was like one of the underlying kind of like, she fueled a little bit of my voice. Mm. And then I was just like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then I watched a webinar. It was in Ireland. It's called, I don't even remember what it was called, what the name was called, but it was 20 by 20. And their tagline was, if she can't see it, she can't be it. Hmm. And Martina Navratilova was speaking on there.
Oh.
And she was saying things, you know, she was like, we need to see more media. We need to see more books written and stuff. And then I think with those two colliding, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. Wow. I'm going to do it. And honestly, like, you know, I've told you how I kind of like semi-stalked your podcast and stuff, you know, and your guests. And like, again, a part of that is you fueling your podcast fueling my interest in the stronger woman.
Right.
You know, like when I was Googling things to listen to, you know, strong women podcasts, yours came up, you know? And so when I binge listened your podcast for the first 5 episodes, and it was like all these things came into a bucket to like talk to me.
Yeah.
Say, you should write a book, Larnie. You want to bring all these women together and you want other people to see that there are, you know, they're not alone and that there are communities out there, you know, the powerlifting community. It was all like the same message of bringing people together. And that book, it was just like, it came up and pretty much like woke me up at 2:30 in the morning and was like, you're going to commit to writing this book. Wow. And I was like, Dawn, I'm going to write this book. And she's like, I knew it. and then that's how it came about. And it's like I wanted to have all these women come on as a contributor. And I'm so glad that you came on to say yes to it because, first of all, I really wanted you to contribute to it anyway. But like, I felt like you were an influence to me.
Yeah.
Your show is an influence to me, and your guests have been an influence to me to be stronger than I am.
Yeah.
And it really helped me. So this book is just, it's just like a culmination of all these, you know, these strength, and strength could be, you know, there's so many aspects of strength. And I think that's what brought me to writing this book. I wanted women to see that there are different strengths. Yeah. You know, like some people like keep asking me about powerlifting. I'm like, yeah, I could talk about that, but you know, let's talk about this. Let's talk about how it brought me to my inner strength. And, you know, that's why that title of the book is unleashing your inner, you know, how you unleashed your inner strength and stories about it, because we all have it.
Yeah.
We all have it. We just have to bring it out.
Yeah. And I love that everybody's story is a little different in the book. And maybe you can talk a bit about the book, who wrote the foreword, and how was that foreword for her? You know, it's funny. I have to say, when I just say her name, people have no idea, unless you're in our community. Like, we know, right? Like, but when I told my husband, I was like, yeah, Courtney Olson wrote the foreword. Like, I was like this, Courtney Olson wrote the foreword. Like, that was my face. And he's like, who is that? Like your husband, when you were saying, when you're talking about me, your husband's like, who? And I was like, the chick that squashes watermelons with her thighs, she crushes them. And he's like, oh yeah. Okay. I know who you're talking about. That's cool.
So, I found out about Courtney Olson again, Googling clothes that fit broad-shouldered women.
Oh my God. I bet she would love to hear that, because, you know, as somebody who, you know, who wants to appeal to all women's sizes, that is something that I'm sure a lot of women type in and get a big, I've done that for bras. Like, you know, that like, so that they're not super, cause I'm not tall. So I got bigger boobs. My back is a little bigger, but then I'm not tall. So if I get an extra large, the thing is like down here. I'm like, I need like, I just need coverage. Come on. So anyways, I could see that. So you were searching for clothing that fits.
Clothing that fit broad shouldered women.
Yeah.
And, cause don't you dare get me to button down. I will bust that. Those buttons will be screaming.
I get the stretch on the side of the shirts. There's ones that have stretch on the side. Oh, that's great.
So like, I started following her and I loved her message and I loved her, her support from her community. And I just, that made me want to build the same community.
Yeah.
And, when I asked Courtney Olson to be in the book, I was like, Hail Mary, let's see if she writes me back.
Yeah. Right. And even answers.
Yeah. I was like, you know, we'll see, whatever. And, when she did, I was just like, honey, I was talking to my husband, honey, look who sent me a message. And he's like, who's that? I said, Courtney Olson. And he goes, oh, okay.
So supportive. Great, hon.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
And, you know, like, I actually got to talk to her. Like, she wanted to know more about the book. So we were messaging back and forth. And then I think one time it was just like too much of a message. She's like, you know what? Just call me.
Yeah.
I was like, what? And I got this message while I was training at the gym. So I'm telling my coach, I go, oh my God, guess who I get to talk to tonight? My coach is like, who? I said, Courtney Olson. And he goes, no way. I was like, yeah. And I'm so nervous. So I need to hurry up and finish the set so I can go home.
Yeah. You know?
And it was just like those kinds of things. Like I to have her write the foreword and to even have her acknowledge the fact that I, you know, I was getting this group of women together and she thought it was cool. Like I, it was very, very humbling, but also I was like, this is cool. You know, like I've always wanted to be part of a strong woman community. And it started with this, and now it transferred to Courtney. And it's really, I don't know, it's brought me to such like a high where I feel like I'm actually living my purpose.
Yes.
And helping these women, helping people in general is like, you know, part of my purpose.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for her to take part and write the foreword, And her forward was holy, holy crap.
Kicks you in the ass right off the bat. Yes. And if you guys don't know anything about Courtney and her story, it is amazing. I mean, she has come from, and she's very open about where has she has struggled in her life and how she's came to where she is now. But it's destructive. I mean, she became an addict at a young age, and now she has this amazing company called Girl. Yeah. Apologize. I have a little cough here. But her forward really talks about her experiences and why she is a part of this book and why she has the companies, and she tries to build the people and surround herself with women who are trying to raise other women up, which I think is amazing. Maybe you could talk a little bit about some struggles you've had along the way.
Oh, gosh, my struggles along the way to build this. You okay? Okay.
It's so funny because I'm pausing the mic just so you don't have to hear it. But, of course, I'll cut this all out. Like, yeah. You know what it is? The stinking, it gets so dry. So the more I talk, it gets dry.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. I might pause it in between, but I am listening.
I guess like my struggles to get to this point, it was not just only the fear of myself, like sharing my story, like opening myself up. It, like for a long time, I really, held back a lot of myself. And I think it's just because as an athletic trainer, I work with so many athletes and they always try to like get into your personal stuff. And I'm just like, no, we're not talking about that.
Oh, do they? That's so funny.
Oh my gosh. Like, you know, that's why I changed my name on Facebook for a long time. It was something totally different because like all the athletes wanted to be my friend. And I was like, no, can't have that.
Right.
I mean, I know I could have just put it on private, but that was before I knew how Facebook worked. But it was, you know, I had to learn how to suppress a lot of feeling and, you know, I'm doing a job to take care of you. So you don't really need to know about me so much.
Right.
So, like a lot of my struggle coming to where I'm at now was opening up and seeing the other side of life. Mm. You know, I like say this analogy, like, you know, those big old brick pavers, you know, you like, you build them up to build a retaining wall to hold something back.
Yeah.
And I was like on the other side of that wall for a long time, you know, like things were seeping in, like the water was seeping in, whatever, and positivity was seeping in, but I wasn't allowing it to affect me. It's like, no, yeah. I was like saying no to a lot of stuff. And once I kind of like cracked past that wall, was I keeping myself from the outside to protect myself from what was coming in? Or was I preventing myself from experiencing the outside, stepping to the other side?
And that's usually it, right?
And then when I took that step forward, it may not have been big. It was just like a small step forward. I peeked out and I was like, whoa, there's so much cool stuff. And then take another step and, oh, I'm going to try that. And another step. It was like that moving forward moment of breaking away from my own self-limiting belief.
Yep.
And, you know, I learned that like maybe like a year ago through this whole COVID thing, that there was something inside of me that I was limiting myself. I was already telling myself no before I even tried.
Yeah.
And that's how it's powerlifting for me. It was like, I was telling myself no, even before I tried. And it's like, why am I doing this to myself? And it's like when I finally tried powerlifting, oh my God, look at all the joy that came in. Oh, you know, it just took that moment of trying to understand what brings me joy.
Yeah.
Who or what is going to bring me or give the positive energy to help me, to support me. And, you know, there are a lot of relationships that had to go onto the wayside because it was not like the positive energy that I needed. And that's okay. I mean, those people are still around, but I just try not to make sure that their energy takes my space too much.
Yeah.
You know, and so I have to compound my energy with like the positive energy from not only myself, but from the people around me.
Yeah.
So those were like, that was like the biggest struggle is like, I was limiting myself.
Yeah.
And once I opened up the floodgates, shoot, I was just talking about, oh, I've been through that. Oh, wait a minute. I've been through that too.
Yeah.
And let me tell you how I got past, you know, it was like that, that helped me connect with more people because I knew I wasn't alone and they knew that they weren't alone. So it was really just building each other up and holding each other up.
Yeah, for sure. I think that there is so much people connect with when you're, you know, talking about struggles and they can hear. And that's, you know, the reason why I said to be in a part of the book, because I had shared so much in the book that I've never really talked about in such detail. And I think that, I mean, I had told you it was so cathartic for me. And then I realized at the end of it, I'm like, I'm so happy I did this because I up until that point, I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to, I don't want to say something wrong or, you know, there was a lot of roadblocks in my mind that held me back from really wanting to speak my truth. And I realized that, you know, that's what I do on this podcast for other people's stories all the time. You know, I share everybody else's story. And this was the time that you reached out to me to share my story. I was like, what? I don't have a story. Like, what do I have to say? But I really do. You know, there's really a lot of things that I've experienced that has allowed me to be successful right now. And I'm proud of that. I am proud to say that I have a successful podcast, a successful gym. I have a great marriage, a great family, and things are struggle. I still struggle in a lot of areas of my life. But these experiences that I've had have allowed me to make a better judgment or not let things bother me the way they used to or examine the experience differently, you know? And I'm hoping that when people read this book, that they're allowed maybe something a little closer to that too, that they're open to other other things.
There's a, my quote in there is cry in strength instead of struggle. And I came up, I thought about that quote because we all have our struggles.
Yeah.
We all, we can either dwell in our struggles or overcome our struggles. And that's what that cry in strength is.
Yeah.
We, when we overcome our struggle, when we overcome and own our struggle, we can cry in strength because we are finally unleashing our inner power.
Yeah.
And now we can move forward to help other people. We can live our purpose. We can live the life that we, that you, you know, you yourself want. And yes, there will always be a struggle, but the triumph over the struggle is the lesson, is owning, is understanding. And that's that cry and strength.
Yeah. I love that.
So that's what, that's my quote.
There's a quote in the book that I like that you wrote, and it was very small. And there's a bunch. I had a bunch highlighted, but fight for who you are truly and own who you are. I loved when you were talking about that and you were talking about growing up and really trying to find your identity. And I think that that is a something that will be heard throughout the book. You know, women trying to, these women are trying to find who they are, where do they fall in society, you know, in each of their own ways. And in the end, they're fighting for who they want to be and who they truly are. And that's inspiring other women.
And to get away from other people judging them.
Yes.
You know, there's always going to be the judgers and the haters, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, you have to either, you know, just tell these people like, hey, I'm going to do what I need to do and I'm going to love it, whatever. But, you know, it's that whole judgment and like the comparison, like we have to get out of that cycle of ourselves because you are, I've been using this word about the book a lot. Like you are one vessel. I love that.
Vessel.
You are one vessel that you are given, you know, build it to how you want to see yourself, but make sure it is the strongest version of you.
Yeah. I love it. All right. So this is the part of the show where I ask my guests,
what the hell is wrong with you people?
What the fuck were you thinking? Where you look back at a time and you think to yourself, what the hell was I thinking doing that? Could be in powerlifting, could be in life, could be anything.
Oh, no. I can tell you that when I thought I was a runner, for a year I thought I was a runner. I was like, you know what? I'm going to start running. I'm going to do all these Spartan races. I'm going to do all this. I had this card and it had like all like a 5K, 10K, blah, blah, blah. And it listed all these awesome races. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to run every single one of those.
Oh my gosh.
And I got to the marathon part. And for some reason, I thought running 5Ks were going to be enough to run a marathon. My 45-minute 5Ks, I thought that was going to be enough to run the Little Rock, Arkansas Marathon.
Oh, wow.
Which is, I didn't know that they like labeled marathons like, oh, this is going to be like a easy level or whatever. I didn't know this is one of the hardest ones.
Oh, I didn't know that either. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And I only wanted to run it because the medal you get was like the size of a plate.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was cool. I was like, ooh. So I'm going to run this marathon. I'm going to come home with that big old plate. And I knew it was going to be bad when I was at the start line and I was crying in fear.
Oh,
I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. And everyone was just like, Larnie, you'll be okay. And they're like hugging me and stuff. And everybody takes off and we're running over this bridge and I could see the group of people leaving me, waiting for me. And I was maybe it was me and maybe five people in the back. Everybody's past the bridge and we are still on the bridge.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, you know, I could hear my wheezing lungs and I was like, okay, just keep moving, Larnie. Just keep moving, you know, pump those arms, keep moving, you know, take your little noon tablets. It's only been 0.2 miles. Just keep going. And I'm running and I'm by myself. Those five people gone.
Oh my gosh. They're ahead
of me, and they were walking.
Oh my gosh.
I get to mile 9.
Oh my
is a water stop. And I was like, Larnie, what are you doing? Your feet hurt. You're chafing. You know, it's getting freaking hot outside. No, this is it. Your body is like, no. Like, I just couldn't feel my feet.
So wait, up until this point, you didn't even like do training towards a marathon. You were just running a bunch of like five.
Yeah. Do any? I was like, no, 5Ks every weekend. I'll be fine in the marathon.
That's hilarious.
So I'm like out there, mile 9. I made it to mile 9. I was like, okay, this might be it, Larnie. This is it. So it was like, oh my God, you. This is the time where you might be carted off in the medical. And I was like, I sit there at the water station, and they ask me, they're like, are you okay? I go, no. I can't feel my feet. It hurts like hell and I'm chafing everywhere. And this stupid camelback, you know, I was just bitching. I just remember myself bitching about this. And the medical cart comes and I hop on and I'm like so pissed off that I'm crying.
Oh yeah.
And I call my husband who can wake up on one day and go, you know what? I'm going to run the marathon. I'm going to run the Chicago marathon today. Oh. And the time. I hate that.
Yeah.
So I call him. He's running. He's like, well, I could turn around. I'm at mile 13 already. He's already at the halfway point, and I'm just like at mile 9. And he's like, I'm going to turn around and come get you. I'm like, no, just finish. I'll be in the medical tent. And the cart takes me off, and I'm still so pissed off. I'm like crying.
Yeah.
And I get to the medical tent, and they're like, how are you feeling? And I'm just like, I feel like shit. This is, I can't, you know, I just like complaining to myself.
Yeah.
And the guy that was there, he was trying to stretch my feet out. Like, what are you doing, man? And he like stretched my calf out and I like pretty much like kicked him a little bit. Like, get off my feet.
You're like, doesn't feel good.
It doesn't. And he's like, okay, just relax here, you know. And so while everybody is running, I'm in the air-conditioned medical tent. And that after that,
you didn't run anymore.
I knew that running was not for me unless I was being chased by zombies. And even then, they'd probably catch up to me and eat me. But I would do my best to run half a mile to get away from them. Never again. I am not a marathon runner. I am 230 pounds of not running.
Yeah. No, thank you. Listen, I think most powerlifters are not runners. That's why we gravitate towards lifting heavy. It's like, yeah. I used to like to run fast. So I'll run from like, you know, a 500 yard is probably the most I'll do. But, you know, we used to do like the 100 yard dash and stuff like that in high school. I was like, I'm cool with that. After one round around the thing, I'm like, nah, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
I have to say, that's pretty awful. What the hell was I thinking? Doing a bunch of 5Ks and then your husband not even being like, hey, maybe you should like run a little bit more. You know, and have like a plan or something in line.
Yeah, I really thought that, you know, if I ran a 5K, I used to run 5Ks every Saturday and Sunday with my husband. And he would be finished after like 20 minutes. And here I am 45 minutes later, you know, my eye patch guy beating me and, you know, the double wide strollers like going around me. And I'm just like.
They used to always kill me, the double wide strollers when I was in Hawaii. There was always one lady that was just like. And she would yell, like, because she was going so fast, she would yell ahead of time, like, hey, coming through. It's like, I ain't slowing down, is what she's pretty much telling me. Yeah. Like, I'm not slowing down, so get out of the way. I got a baby.
Well, the ones with the little dingy bell. Ding, ding.
Oh, they have bells?
Yeah, they put them on their strollers to, like, tell me that, you know.
Get out the way.
To let me know, you know, I'm coming through. And I'm just like, okay.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that. That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I would probably be mad. Oh, yeah. Be like, what do I look like?
It is. I would only run fast at the close to the finish line so I could get my photo up.
Ah, and be like,
yeah. And then I'd be like,
oh, Larnie, this has been wonderful. I am so happy I got you on the podcast. I'm so happy that we could share your story and that. Hopefully, some people who are listening here today, you can buy the book on Amazon. Search "Standing in Strength," and you can
finally get the paperback.
Get the paperback. We got it. I know it was a little delay on the paperback, but it's out there, and people are buying it. And you can also purchase the Kindle or e-version, the ebook, if you type in "Standing in Strength," and it'll have it there. And I think it's still discounted. So if you get it now, it's $2.99 instead of $9.99. So get it now, read it, read our stories, tell us what you think, reach out to me and Larnie, you know, like we, I thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you for this opportunity for me to be in your book. So serendipitous.
Thank you for having me. You know, this has been on my, you know, I'm going to be on her podcast one of these days. And it finally came through. Yeah. So I'm so grateful to have met you and, you know, have you become one of my friends and just be part of my life and this whole journey with me. So thank you as well.